SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Monday, the 17th of July, 2024. The Australian share market broke another record today with the ASX 200 breaking through 8,000 points for the first time. And we'll speak to two analysts as a result, Piers Bolger from Infinity Asset Management and Anthony Doyle from Firetrail Investments in a few moments. But first, to China's economy, where GDP came in at a slower than expected 4.7% for the year to the June quarter. For more, I spoke with economist based in Hong Kong, Janu Chan. Janu, first of all, let's talk about China's economy. How would you describe the pace of growth in China? What's helping it to grow and what's holding it back?
If I had to pick one word, I'd describe China's economic growth as mixed. On the surface, we have an annual growth rate of 4.7%, and that sounds really good if you were in Australia or most other developed economies. If they had that kind of growth, it would be considered strong. But the concern with China now is that we're not seeing a huge amount of that benefit flowing through to households. We can see this through retail spending data, which slowed to 2%, and that's the weakest since the COVID lockdowns in late 2022. A big part of that weakness in the household sector is the housing market, and we saw signs of that weakness with official house prices falling 4.5% on a year ago. And where we are seeing growth in China is factory production, and that highlights that push by policymakers towards supporting production to drive economic growth. The other area which is supporting China's economy is investment, and that has been a key driver for China's economy for many, many years now.
Okay, speaking of policymakers, right, the highly anticipated third plenum starts today. What are you expecting from it, and just how critical is this meeting?
This will be the third plenum, and it's significantly because traditionally the third plenum has set a reform agenda. There's an additional focus for this particular meeting in that because of China's current economic situation, the current geopolitical climate, there is some recognition that these issues require some fresh thinking. It's hard to say what will come out of this meeting. I personally don't think we'll see any big, bold changes that investors in liberal democracies might hope for. And some of these might include some transferring of incomes to households, which have been struggling. Instead, I do expect some greater attention on productive forces, which has been a key focus and phrase that has been used by policymakers in recent times. And that means things like innovation, supporting the technology sector. And I believe that there is an ongoing hope that this is going to eventually lead to benefits to the rest of the economy.
Okay, what about benefits to Australia when you look at the potential for what's coming out of the plenum and where we see China's economy at the moment?
Well, as far as Australia's concerns from the plenum, we will have to wait and see. It is possible we could see a rabbit out of the hat, but I think we'll need to look to policy measures over the next couple of months to see what kind of impact that's going to have for Australia. I think from where Australia is concerned, we need to remember that despite China's economic challenges, it's still got an economic growth target of 5% for this year. And that means we probably will still need to see some greater stimulus from authorities before year's end. And I think that means we shouldn't underestimate how much China is still going to be demanding commodities.
That is Janu Chan there speaking about China's economy from Hong Kong.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On the Money podcast.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Great day for the Australian share market today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.7%, closing at 8,017 points. So it's a close above 8,000 and going above 8,000 points for the first time ever. Spoke to two analysts about what they think drove it and where to now. First, let's hear from Anthony Doyle, the head of investment strategy at Firetrail Investments. Anthony, so a milestone for the ASX 200 today, breaching 8,000 points for the first time ever. Can you run us through what's behind this rally and which sectors are driving it today?
Yeah, so it's been 3 years now since the ASX hit 7,000. And typically what happens is it often prompts investors to go and review their equity holdings as financial media start covering this round number itis. But what's driven the market today, really all the sectors are up, all 11 sectors. And your viewers might be surprised, particularly given the news over the weekend around Donald Trump in particular, but it's really been driven by increased risk appetite, meaning investors wanting to add more equities to their portfolios, given expectations that the big central bank, the US Federal Reserve, will likely cut rates at some point in the next 6 months.
We'll talk about Donald Trump in a few moments, but when you look at the Australian share market right now, even though it's doing quite well, it is underperforming a lot of its global peers. Why? And what does that mean for its future performance, do you think?
I mean, it's been a really interesting 3 years, obviously, but what's really driven offshore markets and global markets in particular are those big tech heavyweights that I'm sure many Australians know, whether we're talking about Alphabet, also known as Google, Meta, also known as Facebook, and the one more most recently is a company that produces semiconductor chips named NVIDIA. That's really driven the offshore market, big technology names. Now, in Australia, we don't have the same weight within our index to that tech sector. What our biggest companies are, and Aussies know them well, the big major banks and also basic materials and resources, and they've lagged the big tech rally.
Okay, so you mentioned Donald Trump and the events of the weekend. What does the latest developments mean for markets, do you think?
Yeah, so it's interesting what we've seen today. So a lot of investors had expected potentially investors seeking the safety of what is described as safe haven assets. So government bonds like Australian treasuries or US treasuries, but also safe haven currencies like the US dollar or the Japanese yen. But actually, as people have digested the news, betting markets are suggesting that it is now more likely that Donald Trump is elected as US president again following the dramatic events of the weekend. And less uncertainty around the US election has actually seen investors more happy to take equity risk. And hence, you've seen the Aussie market rising again today. So really, really interesting developments as people start to think around the second and third order effects of what Donald Trump presidency 2.0 might look like for companies and equity markets.
All right. When you look at the local markets, any company news catching your eye today?
Ricardo, really quiet day, actually. So I think a lot of investors domestically are waiting to see how the offshore markets open up. And we are about to enter into earnings season offshore. So the Aussie earnings season for the big companies and the Australian market is in August, but we're now starting to see offshore companies beginning to report. And what investors are really looking for is to see earnings growth outside of those big behemoths that I mentioned earlier, to see if we're actually starting to see earnings growth rise for smaller and mid-sized companies that are listed on exchanges around the world.
And finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Well, as I mentioned, we may begin to start to see interest rate cuts. Indeed, we've already seen some from central banks offshore, such as the Swiss National Bank, the European Central Bank. And if the US Federal Reserve begins to cut, and the market now expects September, and is actually thinking it may be as large as 0.5% cut, we may begin to start to see those gains in equity markets really broaden out. So what I'm talking about here are small and mid-cap sized companies, whether that's in Australia, but also in the big major markets of the US and Europe, for example. So I think that's potentially where the opportunity set may lie for investors over the course of the next 12 months.
That is Anthony Doyle there from Firetrail Investments. And I also spoke with Piers Bolger from Infinity Asset Management. He's the Chief Investment Officer there.
We've had a pretty broad-based rally, actually. If you sort of take over the last little while, we've seen tech sector, commercial services, and surprisingly, the discretionary part of the market's also been quite strong as well in terms of sort of what we've seen over the last week or so. But certainly it's been, as I said, broad-based in regards to that upward move. And we just take the view that that's reflective of sort of the broader environment.
Still, we're underperforming the rest of the other major markets. Why do you think that is? And what do you think it means for future performance?
Well, I think the challenge that we're seeing domestically is really the growth outlook. We've seen quite a moderating level of growth domestically, and that's played into the outlook for markets. Secondly, inflationary expectations remain elevated to global markets. So the likelihood of the RBA cutting rates throughout the course of this year, in our view, is really going to be hinged on the inflationary print that's coming in the end of July, and that obviously will lead into the RBA board meeting. So that side of it, from our perspective, is also sort of crimping market performance somewhat, particularly when you say looking at bond markets and other parts of the discretionary sectors. We've seen retailers, as I said, come off a little bit. So there's been parts of the market that have been implicated by, as I said, higher inflationary pressures coming through the system that's flowed through. Global markets, whether it be US, Europe, UK, we've already seen Bank of Canada and the ECB cut rates. So we've already started to see rate cuts in other parts and other jurisdictions. And we think that that has, one of the key reasons why those markets have continued to rally and had the potential to rally a little more strongly than what we're seeing here domestically.
What about the other key event that happened over the weekend, that attempted assassination on Donald Trump?
Well, I think we had the view that certainly after the first presidential debate, that really didn't sort of hit the highlights that the Democrats were looking for in our view. And clearly there's consternation as to whether or not Joe Biden would continue to stay in the race. And I think that side of it actually favoured Trump in terms of his nomination for presidency. We wouldn't say that the events in the weekend, there's still 4 months to go if you're looking at the presidential race. So there's still a lot to occur in the context of that. But from our perspective, when we look at sort of what the outlook would mean, it's really going to continue to be driven by Fed policy. We've seen inflationary data back end of last week look very positive in the context of the directional side of inflationary expectations. And we continue to take the view that the Fed will look to cut rates, most likely in their September board meeting, potentially two rate cuts this year. So from our perspective, when we think about that, that's going to be really the context around where financial markets are going to go, as opposed to sort of the events of the weekend. We do think that they may embolden to some extent the Republican Party, and obviously the impetus that it may have heading into the election in November. But from our perspective, it's really going to be the US Fed and what's happening in the growth outlook for the US, which has remained relatively consistently stable over the course of this year. From that perspective, we think that's really going to drive markets as opposed to the events of the weekend particularly.
And finally, Al, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Well, look, we're really are quite constructive on equity markets. As I said earlier, if we think about the outlook for inflation outside Australia, which has remained elevated, as we all know, global inflation has moderated pretty significantly over the last 6 to 12 months. And so we've seen, in our view, cash rates have now peaked. We're now seeing central banks move to cut rates. So we think that that's going to be positive for growth assets. And we've, as you alluded to early on, we've seen that particularly in more interest rate sensitive sectors such as tech and the like, have continued to move higher. Other interest rate sensitive sectors such as REITs, as an example, we believe can continue to improve over the course of the next 6 to 12 months. So we think about the outlook more broadly. We are seeing opportunities in growth assets. And then equally, with the cutting of interest rates, where we've seen bond yields and where we've seen fixed income and bond markets, we do see there's some opportunity in that part of the asset class segments as well. So, when we think about the market dynamic at the moment, we've very much got what we would say is a balanced approach to the way that we're configuring our portfolios, and that includes both equity growth assets as well as fixed income bond related investments as well.
That's Piers Bolger there from Infinity Asset Management.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.